You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast.
The South African stock market makes up around 1% of the global investment universe. Investors who want a well-diversified portfolio should always consider including offshore assets in their portfolios to access additional regions, sectors, and companies. On SAFM Market Update this evening at 6:45, Allan Gray Portfolio Manager Siphesihle Zwane will touch on the benefits of offshore investing and explain why companies like Disney present a compelling case for local investors. Brought to you by Allan Gray, 50 years of long-term investing. Allan Gray is an authorized FSP.
The Market Update, Monday to Thursday, 6 to 7 p.m.
So barely 3 months since subsea cables in West Africa were damaged, affecting internet users. Internet users in some East African countries have had to contend with outages. What and why, you ask? Well, Arthur Goldstock is standing by to hopefully, Arthur, help us understand exactly that. What's going on?
What's really happening is that we're starting to see how vulnerable undersea cables are to all kinds of activities, conditions, and the like. So on the west coast of Africa, we had an undersea earthquake, which probably caused an undersea rockfall, and that split multiple cables in the same area, because cables tend to follow the same routes under the undersea, because the people who lay down the cables do a survey of this of the seafloor to see where the best routes might lie, or the route for the cable to follow. And that means that if multiple cable companies are doing the same surveys, they're likely to come up with similar routes. And the result of that was that three cables were snapped at the same time, three major cables on the west coast, and those are currently being repaired. In the meantime, the traffic is being rerouted by other cables, but those other cables included the Seacom cable on the east coast, which links South Africa and Kenya to the rest of the world. And then there's another cable called the East Africa Submarine System, which links East Africa to South Africa. And those two cables seem to have been damaged or snapped or otherwise compromised in the same area just north of Durban. So that suggests that they were both subjected to the same activity. It could even have been something as simple as a sea anchor, because it doesn't seem to have been too far out to sea. And that's actually what happened earlier this year also, when the Yemeni Houthi rebels fired rockets at civilian cargo ships, and they sunk one of these ships, and the anchor of that ship dragged through various undersea cables in the Red Sea area, which also reduced capacity from East Africa to the rest of the world. Mm. So it's almost a comedy of errors, one issue after the other. But the one north of Durban, that sounds strange, because it's not an area known for seismic activity, and that suggests it might have been some kind of shipping activity that severed the cables, if both cables were severed in the same place.
Oh my. So when you speak of vulnerable cables, maybe paint a picture for us, right, of the hardware of these cables. Are we talking about thick, long cables? Are we talking about thin cables? If I look at the computer here, is it something similar to that?
So the interesting thing is that the actual active cable is really just a tiny fiber thread. And I've got a pile of these threads in my office that I often show people to show them how small a fiber cable actually is. And you can fit thousands of these little cables into one conduit. And that's essentially what happens. They have these fiber optic cables, very thin, very fragile, through which light travels. Those are inside conduits, typically plastic conduits. And those, in turn, are sheathed in a kind of armor casing. So when you see an undersea cable, it looks like a very thick, armored cable. It looks like something that you would need some serious firepower or serious damage to be able to break that cable. It seems so well protected. But anything that compromises the structure of that armor is going to immediately have an effect on the cables inside, because they're so fragile.
Is this, or are the disruptions exclusive to the African continent?
Not at all. It's a global phenomenon. And for that reason, the cable companies around the world have ships that are specifically designed to go out to sea and pull up the cable, examine the damage, and repair the damage. And there tend to be these cable repair ships in most regions of the world, precisely because that kind of seismic activity on the seabed is not uncommon and has to be addressed continually.
Why under the sea?
Because it's the most efficient way of creating physical connectivity. Your other options are satellite connectivity, and that would mean having to have a high-capacity beam coming down from a satellite and being able to beam up to that satellite as well, because the data has to go both ways. So for that, you need fairly elaborate equipment on the ground. To receive it is easy. To send it back up is far more difficult. It's one of the challenges that Starlink addressed, Elon Musk's satellite connectivity service. But there's two problems with that. The one is that it's slow. They claim high speeds, but there's always a lag. When you have that kind of distance over which a signal must travel, it creates a lag, and people experience that as a slow connection. And it's also expensive because there's limited capacity on those satellites and there's limited bandwidth. So you're paying a premium for that. That's the major issues with satellite connectivity. The other option is running cables over land. But there, you are going to have to get the rights to every meter or kilometer of land over which you run that cable. And that is a nightmare. We've seen that with fiber networks in our cities and across the country. The thing that's held back the expansion of those networks has always been the rights from municipalities and local authorities. So it's a long-winded process, but it's also expensive because to run cables over land, you actually have to dig trenches so that the cables are properly protected. Because you can imagine, if a cable under the sea is vulnerable, a cable running over land would be 100 times more vulnerable to different elements, from weather through to vehicles damaging them, through to people trying to steal them. So it's just not feasible to run continent-length cables over land.
A colleague and I were having a conversation yesterday about technology for cooking. So if you don't use an oven, or you use a microwave, or you use an air fryer, and she jokingly said, are you one of those people that are scared of microwaves because of what? radiation. But when you think about these undersea cables, is there an immediate threat or long-term threat to humans, I guess?
No, there's no way it can have any effect on humans because it is, firstly, way out of reach of any human except at the landing points. But there's also no radiation coming off of those cables. So even if you bought the argument that the radiation from cell phone signals was damaging to humans, and that's still highly debatable, that still wouldn't be a factor with the sea cables at all, because there isn't any signal being emitted from those cables.
Okay. Arthur, always a pleasure. Thank you very much for your time this evening. Arthur Goldstark, CEO of Worldwide Works.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app, and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.